Our text is the last verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So where is the center of the universe? Well, some people would say it's somewhere a long, long way from here, which everything radiated from a long time ago. One could even say in a galaxy far, far away. I know that there are some people who think the synodical center is the center of the universe, and others, one of the two seminaries, Fort Wayne or St. Louis, take your pick. I think we think St. Louis is, they think Fort Wayne is. And some people would say something more political, like Washington, D.C. is the center of the universe. In the days of Rome, when Rome was Rome, not just a little city in Italy, kind of a big city, it was the center of the known universe for the people in that area in that day. Literally, all roads led to Rome, and Rome was not a very nice place. It was parasitic, by which I mean it was taking away all the resources from the Mediterranean and not giving much back. Eventually, Rome had the most prosperous of all the Christian churches and rapidly became one of the largest. And during this slightly later period than Paul, the Christians in Rome were accused of many things. Cannibalism, because they supposedly ate their founder. Treason, for declaring another lord than Caesar. Infanticide, for drowning their children. Arson, because their holy writings and many of their followers declared that the world would end in fire. And of course, conveniently or inconveniently, Rome eventually burned. So then there's this text, and I have to tell you, I love this text. But when I saw I had to preach on it, I kind of groaned. Not because I don't like the text is wonderful. But it doesn't provide any means for getting the things in the text done. Look at it, it's all orders. If I were a Roman Catholic, this would be easy. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Now, I know we have all kinds of nice theological tricks to adjust this. This is a good thing. I like this. I took homiletics class too. I know how you import the gospel. That's a good thing. Not a bad thing. But the text itself leaves me with my sinful nature in kind of a perplexed place, because as I look at my life and as I look at these things, I have a hard time doing them. I mean, they're not exactly reasonable. Live in harmony with everyone. I mean, P.T. Barnum didn't even think you could do that. Do not take revenge. I mean, I think according to Paul, we're not even supposed to think about taking revenge. That's, you know, tall order. We're supposed to allow God to take revenge. But then, of course, it's a little like Paul Harvey. It's the rest of the story. He would always give the punchline at the beginning and tell the story that went with the punchline. It was like Jeopardy. You got the answer before the question. And that's what this text is. It's the rest of the story, because the book of Romans tells us about Jesus Christ, who has been sent to take care of us as failing people. The book of Romans tells us about how he has paid for us and loved us. and given us all kinds of good things. And this is the book to the Romans who are having a hard time of things. Hard times I don't think most of us can even conceive. For most Americans, hard time means an unfair thing in life. And usually it's not even really unfair, it's just perceived by the person as unfair. It might be totally just. It might be exactly what they deserve. It might be merciful compared to what they deserve. No, the Romans were responding to actual problems, actual persecution, actual trouble with emperors, actual difficulties in life, actual authority problems. So God sent Jesus. We know the story of Jesus, but we might want to hear it again. The only one who didn't deserve any difficulties or problems, the only one who really deserved to take vengeance, the only one who deserved to judge. And he took it all for us. He went to the cross and died and gave his life for us. And that's how he transforms you and me. Now, I told you before, my old nature doesn't like this, and any honest person, I think, will admit that their old nature does not like this. And if you don't think so, you need to explore your old nature, not through practice, but rather at least become aware enough of it to find out what a deceitful, terrible thing it is. How it makes you not a nice person. Or maybe a nice person when you should be a good person. But there's also a new nature. The new nature that is new because of Jesus Christ. And that new nature rejoices in this passage. Because this passage is simply a great guidebook for the new nature. It doesn't get into the kind of specifics that are needed, but it gets into wisdom, really wise ways of handling everything. So, bless and do not curse. I think my biggest problem with that is in traffic. Bless. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Maybe we're so busy around here, we don't take the time to actually love each other and care about each other. Maybe we should get a lower grade and take care of our neighbor. Live in harmony with one another. Wow, I don't know that Lutherans have even heard of this. There's that German part of us, you know, it's kind of like, harmony, what is that? Was ist das? Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, like professors. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. This is great, great, deep advice that gets at the real problems and issues. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. I can't fathom that one. I will try in my new nature to do that, but I will tell you, doing what's right in the eyes of everyone is difficult when everyone has a different opinion. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Once again, great wisdom. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. And we could go on. But here we have at the end this great, great passage, this great thing that sums it all up. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I could actually get into a bunch of stuff about how the Romans thought good was substantial and evil wasn't and things like this, but we won't do that because this is a sermon. But nonetheless, there's something to real good, something that scares people. When I was at USC, once on one of my papers, I put something was good, and the professor circled it and said, "What does this mean?" You know, it's a very good catechist. He knew the question, "What does this mean?" from the catechism, right? So he didn't want me to use the word good, but I noticed on the professor's evaluations, the best they could do was good. So I suspect they knew what it meant. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we bring the love of Christ, we can overcome this evil with real good. Christ Jesus loves you. He has died for you. He forgives you your sins. Now, however you want to put it, third use of the law, second kind of righteousness, or whatever term you want to use, he would have us also overcome evil with good. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.